Osbemafine offers the first non-estrogen oral agent for the treatment of moderate to severe dyspareunia, a symptom of vulvovaginal atrophy. The first important thing for clinicians to realize is that this is for dyspareunia due to vulvovaginal atrophy of menopause. This is not for treatment of dyspareunia from endometriosis or adhesions or somebody in need of a new partner. Having said that, the other available options currently were either systemic or local estrogen, and there are so many women who will not take estrogen, even though I feel very comfortable prescribing it, especially in a local fashion. Having this option offers another tool in our toolkit in trying to take care of women, because there are so many women who suffer with difficulty with sexual intimacy and yet refuse to use any kind of typical hormonal treatment. In terms of the potential adverse effects, this is a SERM, and the adverse effects are very much like any other SERM. You see a small incidence of hot flashes in recently menopausal women. You see some leg cramps, which are not part way to deep vein thrombosis. You will also see some of the side effects that you get with estrogenizing the vagina. There's a slight increase in what was coded as a side effect of candidiasis or yeast infection, because this more normal estrogenized vagina sometimes will yield more secretion, and there's a tiny but real increase in what women perceive as a vaginal infection in the order of perhaps only 2 to 3%, so be aware of that. In terms of real issues of safety, unfortunately the labeling of this product referred to it as being estrogenic. In an editorial that I wrote for the journal Menopause and data that I presented here at the North American Menopause Society meeting, there's no question that in the endometrium, this compound is much more like the SERM raloxifene than it would be estrogen. In the raloxifene uterine safety study, at 1 year, there was no hyperplasia and 3% active proliferation. In the unopposed estrogen arm of that study, in those who made it to close to a year, there was a 39% incidence of active proliferation and a 23% incidence of simple hyperplasia. This compound in the 1 year safety study had 0.3% hyperplasia and 1% active proliferation. So you tell me, is this drug closer to raloxifene, which I think it is, or closer to estrogen, which is what the label implies? So much so that the medical letter recommended that a progestogen be added, which I think is a total disservice to the patients, because that will increase the risk, the cost, and is totally unnecessary and unfair to clinicians and to patients. In addition, the labeling on this product says that because it hasn't been tested in women with breast cancer, it should not be used in women with a history of breast cancer. I think that's exactly the group that is what I call the low-hanging fruit, and let me explain. If a woman had breast cancer 12 years ago and was on tamoxifen for 5 years, and now she has a new partner and she has a dyspareunia that's moderate to severe, this is exactly the kind of patient that I would use this compound in. Being a SERM, it will have class-like effects in the breast. There's no question it will be an anti-estrogen in the breast. Having said that, I hope no one listening to this will think, wow, here's a SERM. I can get bone, breast, and vagina instead of giving people Evista and then some estrogen cream in the vagina, because although I'm sure, based on preclinical work, that this compound will be an anti-estrogen in breast, the magnitude of its effect at this dose is totally unknown and unstudied. So if people are on another SERM for bone or for breast, to switch them to this compound would be foolhardy, to say the least. But I know that it will have some benefit, but no one knows how much, in bone and in breast. But it is indicated and should be being used for dyspareunia due to vulvovaginal atrophy of menopause.